You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Please be seated. So this is the last Sunday of 2025, and we are gearing up for a new year. And I wanted to come to you from the gospel, which is why Loy read for us the lesson, as opposed to reading the gospel this morning. Because the gospel, when we couple it together with the epistle from Hebrews, has something to tell us about the year that we've just been through, but also about the year that's coming. So we begin in Matthew, it's the gospel. And as I read this from the New Revised Standard Version, if you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So as we read the gospel according to Matthew in this account of the Holy Family fleeing to Egypt to avoid the murderous rage of King Herod, scared to death that there had been born a child that was going to take his throne away from him, we come to a point where it's time for the Holy Family to come home. And the narrative says that when the wise men were gone, God's angel showed up and warned Joseph to get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you it's safe to come back, because Herod wants to kill the baby Jesus. And so Joseph obeys. He gets up, he takes Mary and Jesus in the cover of darkness, and they get out of town before Herod's soldiers come into Bethlehem and begin murdering all the young boys. And they stayed in Egypt until Herod's death. And their flight to Egypt fulfills a prophecy by the prophet Hosea, in which he had preached that the Son of God would be called out of Egypt. And so Herod, when he realizes that the wise men had tricked him, becomes enraged, and he commanded the murder of every little boy 2 years old and under who lived in and around Bethlehem. That act fulfills Jeremiah's prophecy about the crying and weeping in Ramah, in the region. Rachel weeping for her children. Rachel is just symbolic of all Jewish mothers, weeping and refusing to be comforted because her children are gone. They are no more, according to the prophecy. And so then later, Herod dies and God's angel appears to Joseph again, this time as they are in Egypt. And he says, it's time for you to go back to Israel. And Joseph obeys, but he also hears that Herod's son has inherited the throne and the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And so he's hesitant to go, and an angel comes to him and warns him and says, don't go to Jerusalem, go instead to Galilee. And so they settle in the village of Nazareth, and that too fulfills prophecy where the prophet says, he, Jesus, shall be called a Nazarene. And so all of this is a reminder to us as we're beginning a new year, that we can look at the circumstances around the birth of Jesus and we can make some practical assumptions and comparisons about the Holy Family's struggle in those early days to our own struggles in the present day. And you might be thinking, how is that, Pastor? I don't know of anyone or any earthly king who's looking to kill me or my family. It's a different struggle, and yet, this past year has been a struggle for some. So we begin to understand the struggles of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Then we look back on this past year at some of our own struggles. We can begin to relate to Jesus in a whole different way. We begin to see Jesus as a human person with hardships and circumstances that affected him and his family and caused them suffering and grief and pain. As you pause and reflect on that for a minute, you might be thinking of this past year and some of the stuff that you've been through individually and as a family. You might have been in similar circumstances where you have suffered loss and you might be grieving. You might have had a financial hardship. You might have suffered an illness. You might have suffered pain from a broken heart, from a broken relationship. We might have experienced some kind of displacement or abandonment. There are countless ways over our past year that might have brought us pain and suffering. I know this church family has endured a lot of challenges this year. I know that we have endured a long and difficult year due to all manner of things, finances, illness, loss, grief. And the thing is, we could have just given in to the struggle. We could have let the struggle overcome us. But we chose instead to put our trust in God, and we have allowed Him to walk through this season of circumstances with us. We might have allowed the darkness to overtake us even into the coming year, but instead we've chosen a better path. If you're struggling personally this morning, it's not too late to choose the better path. You see, from the gospel lesson in Matthew, we see that after a season of struggle and hardship, there will come, in God's perfect timing, a time for the struggle to end. After the struggle for Joseph and Mary and Jesus passed, an angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, "Get up. It's time to come out of Egypt. It's time to move past the struggles. It's time to come out of the circumstances. It's time to move out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love. It's time to begin anew with a new hope of Jesus Christ in your life. It's time to allow Him to be the center of your circumstances. It's time to allow Him to be the head of your household. Allow Him to be first and central to your life, and let Him lead you out of whatever Egypt you might be in. Because Egypt is different for everybody. There are times we may find that we are in circumstances that are out of our control. But even in the midst of those circumstances, and I want you to hear this, we can never be anywhere that is outside of God's control. If we feel out of control, it's because we're trying to take control. When you relinquish control to the one who truly is in control, suddenly everything feels at peace. God will take even the worst circumstances and use them to create the best circumstance that we could possibly be in. This is because He is the God who draws near to us. Just as the writer of Hebrews tells us in the epistle for today, Hebrews 2, beginning at verse 10, it says it makes good sense that the God who got everything started and keeps everything going now completes the work by making Jesus, the salvation pioneer, perfect through suffering as He leads all these people to glory. Since the one, Jesus, who saves and those who are saved have a common origin, Jesus doesn't hesitate to treat us as family, saying, "I'm going to tell my good friends, my brothers and sisters, all I know about God the Father. I'm going to join them in worship and I'm going to praise God." See, Jesus puts Himself in the same family circle that you are in. He says, "Even I live by placing my trust in God the Father." And yet again, He says, "I'm here with the children that God gave to me." Do you know that Jesus is here with you this morning? His presence is in this sanctuary. And by the way, when you go out the door, He doesn't stop at the door. He goes with you into the world. He says, "I'm here with the children that God gave me." He says, since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by His death. By embracing death, taking it into Himself, Jesus destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed everyone, those that cower through life, those that are scared to death of death. You see, with Jesus in your corner, you need not fear death. And you need not fear your circumstances, whatever they may be. Hebrews reminds us, it's obvious, Hebrews says, that Jesus didn't go to all this trouble for the angels. It was for people like you and me, children of Abraham, ordinary people. That's why he had to enter into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as high priest to get rid of people's sins, he would have already experienced everything you and I are going through, experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing. And he would know what you and I deal with every day. The only difference is that Jesus never succumbed to the sin. He never participated in the sin. And that made him different in that way, made him eligible to be the supreme sacrifice for your sin and my sin. And he paid the price for those sins on the cross. When we look at all that together, we can see that God is a God who draws near to us. He draws near to us, and he draws near to us whenever we draw near to him. And so as you begin this new year, as we click over from 2025 to 2026, next time we meet in this sanctuary, it will be a new year. I encourage you to begin it with a determination that you will draw near to God each and every day. It's harder than it seems sometimes. We have to make a conscious choice to do that. I recommend beginning your day with a conversation with God. Doesn't have to be long and drawn out. Just has to be an acknowledgement that you understand that this day begins by His grace and mercy. His grace and mercy. Each and every day, God is close to you, even in your struggles. And so all you have to do is reach out, just like the woman with the infirmity that reaches out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, not because he's wearing a magic robe, but because she has faith that the one who wears the garment can heal her, can redeem her, can bring her the redemption that she's after in her body, in her mind, and in her soul. This is the way to start each and every day of 2026. Reach out and touch the hem of the garment of Christ. Reach out in faith and acknowledge that God is sovereign and we are not. Allow Him to be the guiding light of your life into the new year each and every day. Don't allow one morning to go by where you haven't acknowledged the source of your life and the power and authority given to you to defeat Satan and the demons. When you touch the hem of his garment, you will be made complete. You will be made whole. You will be redeemed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message.
And until then, may God bless you and keep you.